must reign supreme in our lives. If He doesn't reign supreme in our lives, then everything about our lives will be amiss. He has to be number one. Amen? In the book of Colossians, Paul was writing to tell the Colossae church that all of this teaching by the Jews that you need Jesus plus something else is false. You need Jesus. Jesus fulfills all the feasts. He fulfills all of the law. He fulfills all the requirements of the law. He is the law in the flesh. John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so in Colossians 2 and verse number 7 and 8, specifically verse 8, Paul says not to be carried about by vain philosophy and vain teaching. Empty words, don't be carried away from. What he was getting at is what you need is Jesus. Let's be honest this morning. Our world needs more Jesus. Amen. I'm going to go so far as to say this. If the world needs a lot more Jesus and a lot less jihad. Amen. You can quote me with that one. Amen. Because the truth of it is that when you are in a relationship with Jesus, everything changes. This past Monday, I shared this with some of the men. My doctor, who is my diabetic specialist, had a doctor's appointment on Monday. I asked her, I got to sit down with her, and I asked her just point blank, "Are you a Christian?" The Lord was leading to this. I said, "Are you a Christian? I just need to know. Do you believe in Jesus?" Come to find out, what she told me was that she was raised a Jew, Orthodox Jew, had been... her parents were from Romania. They moved to the U.S. She's a first-generation U.S. citizen. She practiced Judaism, which is what Paul was writing to help combat. Now, I want you to listen to me, what I'm about to tell you. And this is proof of what I'm preaching to you in the flesh, okay? She had practiced it, went to college, met her husband who was a devout Christian, loved the Lord, loves the Lord, loves Jesus. They met each other. The holy day for the Jew is Yom Kippur. Now you listen to me. On that day, for an Orthodox Jew, you have to go to the synagogue and you have to pray. You have to pray being led by Jewish priests. She said there were 13 of them. They pray out of Hebrew prayer books. You pray what they say in that language, in the Hebrew language. And then God will write your family's name in the book of life. And she said, if you're not in the synagogue praying with the priests, an Orthodox Jew believes at the end of Yom Kippur, God closes the book for a year. And if your name is not in that book, then if something happens to you in that year and you lose your life, then in hell you'll lift up your eyes. And so she... Now I'm going to tell you this story. She said you have to make a reservation in the synagogue. If you don't make a reservation in the synagogue, then you won't be able to get in. And they have a certain time, they shut the door, and if you're late, you can't come in. Well, she had a commute from where she was working to the synagogue. She was worked late helping a patient that was having some trouble with their diabetes. She left, went to the synagogue. She said, "I was rushing." Got to the synagogue, couldn't park close, had to park a mile down the road, ran in the pouring rain and in high heels to the synagogue. As she's going up the steps, they shut the door. And she said, she got to the door, knocked on the door. The man opened the door. She said, "I have a reservation. I need to come in." And he said, "You're too late." He said, "All seats are filled." She said, "But I made a reservation." And he said, "You're late. The seat was given to somebody else. You missed it." Slammed the door in her face. She said, "Now here is a college graduate, a doctor. sitting in the pouring down rain on the front steps of a synagogue, weeping uncontrollably, because I believe that if I'm not in that building praying what those men tell me to pray, then at the end of the day, God's going to close the book, and my husband and my three children are not going to have their name written in the book of life. And if something happens before Yom Kippur comes again, God opens the door, then if something happens, God will not let them into heaven. She said, I'm weeping uncontrollably. I beat on the door. I asked the man, please, now get this, please let me at least stand in the back. And he said, you know that's not allowed. You missed it. Go home. Slammed the door in her face. She goes home. Drives back home. She's weeping. She's wet. She's crying uncontrollably. She walks in. Her husband says, Wendy, what's the matter with you? I thought you were at synagogue. She said, I missed it. I could not get in. I was late and they wouldn't let me in. I couldn't pray. She said, and I could not bring myself to tell my husband, if something happens to us, we're not in the book of life. She said, so I tried to explain it. My husband said, well, no big deal. Just pray. Now, we're talking about a born again Christian. We're talking about a man who has a relationship with Christ. She said, I looked at him and I told him, I said, you don't get it. You don't get it. If I'm not in that building, and if I'm not praying in Hebrew, and if I don't follow what those priests tell me, he's not going to hear me. She said, I'm crying. She said, my husband goes in the attic. He digs around. Somehow he finds one Hebrew prayer book that was my grandparents. Comes down and opens the book and says, Wendy, tell me what it says, and I'll pray with you. She said, weeping uncontrollably, I looked at my husband and I said, You mean to tell me that if I pray here in our house and not in God's house, that he will hear me? She said, he closed the book, grabbed me by my hands, and said, Wendy, when you believe and pray, God hears you everywhere. She said, on that night in the early 90s, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Now listen, the story keeps going. I made some people mad that day because I kept her in my room for an hour and 45 minutes talking about Jesus. Amen? Well, I looked at her and I said, so you're telling me that religion had you bound down and you could only do what religion said? You made yourself a reservation and religion said you're late and the door was shut. Your name's not in the book of life. She said, that's exactly what I believe. And I said, but that night you called on Jesus and Jesus has made a reservation with your name. And now there is a place at the table, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that reservation can never be canceled. That seat will forever be yours. And now you have freedom to worship in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Doc throwed her hand up and she said, I'm going to shout. And they're going to wonder what's going on in this room. Tears coming down her eyes. You see, Jesus fulfills it all. Amen? And we don't need anything else but Jesus. The supremacy of Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked in His supremacy in His purpose. Jesus paid it all. At the end of the service, I read to you, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. I'm glad, aren't you? He paid it all. He gave His life in redemption. He gave His life for reconciliation. Now, I am one with God. And He's given His life so that I could be resurrected one day. Listen, Jesus said, John 11, 24, 25, 26, one of those three verses, I am He that was there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'll quote them all in a minute. John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He has given us. Colossians chapter 2, the same power that raised Jesus. God used the same power to raise Jesus from the dead. It's the same power He's going to use to raise up from us from the dead. I'm glad, aren't you? He paid it all. You're going to notice the word all continually coming up because it's all in Jesus. This morning I want to preach to you that He is supreme in His position. His position. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, here it is, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, listen, here it is, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That means that He is the head, He is in front, He is everything. Listen, we think Jesus was created as a babe born in Bethlehem. Jesus was there before the world was created. He was before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know why this world's not flying all to pieces? Because Jesus is holding it together. You know why your life's not flying all to pieces? Because the grace of God is holding it all together. Thank God. By Him all things consist. I ain't even where am I going. And He is the head of the body, the church, verse 18, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Listen, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all, here it is, should all fullness dwell. May God add blessing the reading of His Word. I gotta get with it. We're gonna get done. He is before all things. His position. Notice the word preeminence. Simply stated, first place. I want to tell you right now, Jesus has to have first place in our life. Amen? Now, I told Brett just a while ago, I said, I preached this message in a revival meeting. As I preached these series of messages in a revival meeting, this message is the only message that nobody said amen. So I'm not expecting a whole lot of amens. Because I'll be honest with you, it makes me say, oh me, and oh my, and woe is me. Because Jesus, in His position, is supreme. Notice what it said. The word preeminence, according to the Greek dictionary, means to hold first place. It comes from the root word to means to be first in time, first in place, and also to be first in rank. And so here's what I want to say to you about the position of Jesus Christ. It is a position of preeminence. He is the first. Nothing else on this world, in this world, of this world, matters apart from Jesus Christ. Everything else will vanish. Everything else will deteriorate. But Jesus Christ is the first. And if He's not first, then let me tell you something. He don't want to be second. He don't want to be third. And He definitely don't want to be last. He wants you and I to hold Him as the preeminent one. The one that's in first place in our life. Listen to me this morning, Christian. You and the preeminence of Christ lets me know that He was pre-existent. If you'll read with me, for by Him were all things were created. That means nothing created. This throws evolution out the wazoo. Amen? If that's a word, if you'll let me use it. Because the truth of the matter of it is nothing created Him. He created everything. The Bible says right here things that were visible and invisible. You were talking about biology there just a little bit ago. When I sat in my zoology class and they were talking about how that evolution took place and how there was a speck of dust. Nobody has an answer for where did the dust come from. Nobody has an answer for why, how did it start spinning. Because here's the thing. If we all come from dust, right? I mean, that's logical thinking, isn't it? If everything, if all the matter that we see, I believe it's something like 97% of all matter was supposedly created at the Big Bang, and it all came from one speck of dust in the atmosphere that began to spin at such a volume and such a velocity that it began, I gotta hurry, and it began to spin so much to create a vacuum, it sucked other particles of dust in. I'm sorry. You have to be idiot to believe that. Because if you are, we're walking on gods all the time. Amen? Because dust has just logical thing. Okay? Then my next question is to these that believe this. Because physical science teaches us that nothing can move unless something moves on. Amen? I mean, listen. Those shirts, they didn't just get up and go from the back of the pew to here. Something had to move. And so, what moved that dust? What caused it to start spinning? Listen, this is my argument. I'm ignorant, all right? I'll be honest with you. I want to know more. Amen? But I've had a man say, well, why didn't
All right? If you're a Christian, you got to believe in the six-day creation. On the seventh day, God rested.
Amen.
Amen? I believe that because it's in the book. But I asked this Christian evolutionist, so you're telling me that a God with a hand so big that in the hollow of his hand, that's just a little part right here, he holds all the water in the world, a God with a hand that big took and spun a little speck of dust on his great big divine finger like a basketball player does a basketball and created it all. He said, that's exactly right. I don't know that I illustrate it that way. I said, but that's the way it makes sense. Everything is created by him. Therefore, he's the pre-existent one. He is the one who was before all things, and by him all things consist. First in time. First in time. Now we can apply that to you and I. He has to be the first one that gets my time. Amen? If he don't get the first dibs out of my time, then guess who's going to put their hand in my clock as well? Satan. And if Satan gets out before God does, then basically, God gets the leftovers. Amen? Hold me. First in time. First in place. He is the pre-existent one. He is the one who is before all things. I want to say this about his position, and then I got to hurry. Because here, I want to show you where and how he has to be first place. All right? I have to hold that position. Number two, he is the pre-existent one as the preeminent one. Also, he has to be the prominent one, first in rank. It is a position of prominence. Prominent means most important. What's the most important in your life? Right now. Don't say that loud. I love football. But I'm going to go ahead and let you know something. Cowboys gonna get beat by the Chiefs today.
Amen.
Amen. I've done made one laugh. All right. Who else is playing? Broncos are playing the Colts. I guarantee you this: a horseshoe will win out today. Amen. I'm a winner either way. Right there. All right. But here's the thing: when it comes this time of year, people would rather watch football than come to the house of God. That's because Jesus is not the prominent one in our life. Now listen, this is on me. I'm telling you, this is hard preaching. But here's what we get up early on Monday through Friday to go to work. Because why? We want that dollar. Amen? And we need it. I mean, listen, it's a necessary evil. You can't eat unless you work and make money to buy groceries. Right? You can't go anywhere unless you work to make money to buy gas. But we'll get up early to go to work. Why? Because it's important to us to make that money. Saturday, we'll get up and we'll go play. This is why I get up so early now. It's because God, about 2 years ago, said, you get up early every morning you can, every Saturday morning, to go sit in a tree stand and go trace the long beard. But why not get up early the rest of the months of the year and spend some time with me? I want to be that prominent one in your life that you would get up early for and spend that time with. And so, how important was it to me? Now I get up early. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not going to tell you that I get up at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning. Oh, it's morning. I wake up sometimes and go, really? I just laid down. But how important is he in our life? We have church tonight, and I promise you, I started preaching last week on Abraham, and I preached last week on Abraham's availability. Tonight I'm going to preach on Abraham's accountability, and next Sunday night I'm going to preach on Abraham's accessibility. Is everything in your life accessible to God? Now listen, you need to hear that, because I believe those three words define the Christian life and walking with God. Available, accountable, and accessible. That's what God wants from you and I. And so it's important to be here on Sunday night. Amen? Amen. He has to be the prominent one. The one of most importance. I talked with a man the other day, a preacher, a well-known man of God. I love him dearly. I'm growing to love him even more. And he said, he used to sing in a wonderful voice, got a wonderful music ability on a piano. And he said, when I first started in the ministry, people wanted me to come sing instead of preach, and it bothered me. He said, until God showed me one day, whether singing or with a sermon, they don't want you to glorify my name. And he said, so use whatever avenue you can. And that's where he said, I come to the realization, I'll do whatever God's called me to do, when God's called me to do it, and glorify God through it all. Because he's the most important thing, not what I want. Amen? Don't throw no more rocks, preacher. Here's where I want to get to a different place. It's a place of preeminence. He has to be first. He is first. So give him his rightful place. It's a place of prominence. He has to be first in rank. Has to be first in rank. Jesus, family, and then you can go on from there. Amen? You want to know? I'm telling you, faith, which would be Jesus, family, which would be for me, Jesse and Gracie. Listen, I'm a daddy and I'm a husband. And a lot of people don't like this statement, but I was a husband before I was a daddy. And so I mean, my wife is important to me. My daughter is important to me. Somebody looked at my phone the other day, and one of the kids, and said, the only thing you got pictures of is Gracie and pictures of beer. And I said, well, that's what I take pictures of. My daughter, and they said, why ain't Jesse on there? And I said, because Jesse doesn't like pictures. But somewhere standing around close in there, beside Gracie, you could find Jesse if I could just zoom out and make you see. But that's what's important. Amen? I mean, look at your phone. What's important? What's prominent in your life? So, and here's where I want to get. And I want to spend just a little bit of time right here. It's also a positive position. It's a positive. God hit me with this thought. First time I've said that loud is to you this morning. This is fresh off the press, I guess you might say. How many times do we say, got to go to church this morning. It's cold. Got to go to church. How many times does 1 o'clock go off? We know we need to go. I got to get up. I've got to spend time with you. I've got to go to my prayer. I've got to be in the book. Do you understand? We sung it is finished. And it says, on one side are the forces of evil, all the demons and devil of hell. On the other side was the forces of good, all the angels of glory. Basically, now this is simple theology, but it's true. Okay? When it comes down to it, Satan come to seek, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy your life before you ever start living. He wants to destroy your family before you ever get your family thoroughly and established and rooted. He wants to destroy, I'm not being ugly to you, Drew, but he wants to destroy that little baby that's growing inside of your wife's womb this morning. He does not want to add anything to our life, but Satan wants to distract us so that he can take away from our life and divide and destroy. He does nothing to the positive. You may think, well, I got a job promotion. That job promotion. Now listen, I'm not telling you you shouldn't look to better yourself, but listen to me. Satan will want to give you a promotion so that you can spend less time in the church house doing the things God wants you to do so that you can make more money and be less involved in kingdom work. His kingdom will be destroyed. God's kingdom will be undefiled. Amen? And so, Satan, so if Christ is first, it's got to be a positive thing. Amen? Because he said in John 10, he said, I came to give life that they would have it abundant. Right? I mean, let me tell you something. Serving Jesus is not for wimps and weenies. Amen? Amen, Rob? It may cause you to have stitches to do something for the glory of God. But let me tell you something. God will always bless you for doing what you know is right and what he teaches is right. And if you put Christ in the right position, it will be a positive sign in your life and never a negative sign. Let me tell you something. I've done this. This is for me. This is for me. Because I wanted to know if this was truth and if I could preach it. I look back over the last few years of my life. I took back next month will be 12 years that I've stood in this pulpit as pastor. I have been preaching for about 14, 15 years. And I look back over the last 15 years of my life and I ask myself, Nathan, would you do anything different? And I want to tell you something. Here's what I came up with. Everything God led, I'd leave it alone. Everything Nathan led, I would want to change it. But everything God's done in me, through me, and for me, I praise his holy name for. God and Jesus Christ has done nothing but bring positiveness to my life. I don't know if that's a word. if we place him in the right position. But he has to have, it's a positive position. He said, I'm before all things. Say, how can he be positive? By him all things were created, and by him all things consist. It's amazing what God can do if we'll put him in the right place. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things to be added unto you. What things? Food, water, clothing. All that stuff we worry about. All that stuff we fret on. Listen. Going back to my daughter. Was sharing with different stories, and she said there was a woman, a friend of hers, Orthodox Jew, her son was just diagnosed as diabetic. The insurance companies declined him. He needed an insulin pump. They declined him, wouldn't give it to him. He played high school and middle school baseball, second baseman, I believe she said. She said the mother was watching him one day and was plastered against the fence because she was worried about his blood sugar dropping. He was still learning how to do all this. She was watching this woman walked up. Never seen her before. Didn't recognize her as a mother of any of the other sons on the baseball team. Walked up to her and said, which one of those sons is yours? The Jew, the lady that was a Jew, said the second baseman right there. I don't know if he was second baseman, but we're going to use second baseman for whatever reason. And she said, that one right there. She said, well, you seem a little bit troubled about something. She said, what's going on? And she said, well, he's just been diagnosed as a diabetic. He needs an insulin pump. Insurance company has denied him, won't let him have it. Insurance company. Amen? We all denied. We've all had to deal with that, right? The woman that had walked up to this lady that was a Jew said, well, you just need to ask Jesus for an insulin pump. Now, we're talking about an Orthodox Jew. She don't believe that Jesus can do all this. But here comes a woman, obviously a believer, because a non-believer won't say, ask Jesus for anything, right? So obviously a believer says, you just need to ask Jesus for it. Here's what she says. She said she looked up towards the sky half-heartedly. She said, if there's anything to this, Jesus, if you're there, will you please give my son an insulin pump? Said it in her heart. Looked around, that woman was gone. Looked in the crowd, couldn't find her. Looked this way down the fence, didn't see her. Looked this way, didn't see her. She said, it was like this woman appeared and then disappeared. I couldn't see her, didn't know where she went. All right? At the same time, you listening to me? At the same time, my doctor is in her office. There's a man in his 50s, okay? And in his 50s, he's paid for an insulin pump. Paid in full for it. Wore it 2 days, didn't like it. Came in for a visit. My doctor looked at him and said, we'll call his name Don. Doc, I don't remember what his name was. Don, you like the insulin pump? He said, Doc, I don't want you to take this personal, but I don't like it. I feel better the other way we were controlling my blood sugar. She said, in the box beside him was the insulin pump. He picked it up, handed it to my doctor, and said, I want you to give this to a child that is in need. The doctor said, you don't know what you've just done. He said, I'm just doing what I feel led to do. Thank God for people that are sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so, he gives it. She said, I had patience. At the end of the day, I called. We'll call a woman Ann. And she called and said, Ann, you're not going to believe what happened. She said, I was in the office today, saw a man. He's wore a pump 2 days. He doesn't like it. He wants me to give it to a child that's in need. And we'll call a boy's name. Look, Luke has an insulin pump. You'll just be responsible for the supplies. Amen. Here is an Orthodox Jew who doesn't believe in Jesus, who just said, Jesus, if there's anything to you, will you give my son an insulin pump? And down the road, at a doctor's office, a doctor who is a believer, who used to be an Orthodox Jew, has been praying God would supply the need, and a man walks in and says, here, you can have this, and that woman who was a Jew just got silent. I said, I thought she passed out. And I said, Ann, are you there? And she said, Wendy, you're not going to believe this. Today, standing up against the fence around the infield, a woman told her the same story I told you. Wendy, she said, Wendy, I don't know what to make of it. My doctor said, she told her, said, well, Ann, I know where you are, because I used to be there too. But I want you to know there is something to Jesus. You look back over your life, Christian. Isn't there something to Jesus? In the midst when you didn't think that you could make it, all of a sudden He come in and you started making it. Amen? When you felt that you were going to, it was going to be the end of something and some great tragedy come up, what did God do? He come in and He moved in and He done a mighty work in your life. Why? Because when we put Him in that position that is rightfully His, it is a very positive position for you and for me. Alright, He has to be, number one, He has to be the first place in our church. I'm not going to get to all of this, but I believe God's moving, and so I'm just going to go first. He has to be first place, number one, and the heart of the Christian. Christian, if He's not first in your heart this morning, He won't be first in this church. And if He's not first in this church, He won't be able to make an impact in our community. There's the three places He's got to be first. In the heart of the Christian, the head of the church, and for the health of the community. Amen? If He's not first in it, listen, this morning, I want you to know, I sent out a text message. I've wrestled with it yesterday, wrestled with it last night. I send out text messages to 44 people. That's how many people I can reach at one time. And I said, we're going to take up an offering with what the deacons and with what the church and you have given. We have been able to give almost $500 to folks in need. Why? 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 Because Christ is first place and has to be first place. And when that happens, God moves in and God works and He does amazing things. Loretta was able to come home yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. And Friday. It was home Friday. I talked with her yesterday. Why? God's people been praying. Got to be first in our cars. 2 Peter chapter 3, or 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but set Christ apart as holy. That's a paraphrase. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, is what the King James says. Set Christ apart as holy in your life. You better give Him the first place in your heart, Christian. Now, listen. I believe this. I can't get over this. If He's not first place here, everything else is going to fly out of whack. The doctor asked me Monday, we were talking, and she said, so you teach health and PE? And I said, yes, I do. And she said something about that health is physical, it's mental, and it's also spiritual. And I said, well, I said, here's the way I look at it. Our life is a journey. We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? And in this journey, we have a vehicle that we have to travel on. Right? I mean, most of us drove in here in a vehicle this morning. Right? Anybody walk or ride a horse? Good. I'm glad we didn't have to deal with that because it'd be cold if you went home. And I know it was cold when you could. If you're leaving and you're going down this journey of life, how many of you ever had a flat tire? A four-wheel vehicle cannot run on three full tires and one flat one. Amen? Our life is the same way. We have to be made available to God and put Him in the right place so that physically we can be alright. Got to take care of us. This is the temple of God. Okay? This is the meeting house where we bring Him with us when we come. Amen? If this building were to decay and fall down, guess what? We could still meet in this same place and have church. Glory to God. Amen? But now I'm glad for the meeting house. I'm not believing it. I'm glad for what? I'm burning up this morning. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm warm. And so I'm glad for a warm place to worship. Amen? I'm glad for a pulpit to be able to stand by. We have physically, we have to let Christ be first in our life. Then we also mentally and emotionally have to let Christ be first in our life. Think on these things, Philippians said. The things that are good. Let me go back to that position of positiveness for just a minute. That positive position. Too many Christians listen to Satan instead of listening to the Savior, and Satan wants to beat you down, discourage you, distract you, and not let you see what God is doing in you, for you, and through you to the point to where you think it's pointless, hopeless, and He might as well quit, and then Satan goes, aha, I've got me another. I'm excited. I don't know about the rest of it. I don't know if I'm going to be But you and I need to understand, we have to think on the good things of God. Now listen, I'm not saying this for God, that sometimes negative things are a good thing. Amen? God can take our negative and put it into a positive. Amen? I've shared the story about the biscuits. I've shared the story about the mashed potatoes. Jessie made some kind of potatoes the other night, and she rolled them around in ranch dressing. I don't like ranch dressing. Brett knows that. He shamed me into eating some at a revival meeting one night. And I didn't like it then. I only eat it so I wouldn't have a guilty conscience. I don't like it. Jessie can roll them taters in, put them in the oven, bake them, put a little bacon. Anything's better with bacon. Amen? I believe you can put bacon on fish scales. It'd be good. Amen? But she puts a little bacon and cheese on, and it's good, and I like it. And I tell her, cook them again. Cook them tomorrow night. Cook them night after that you want to. Listen, God can take the negative. He can take the positive. We'll put it in His hands and put Him in the right place, and God can use it for the glory of God and for the betterment of who we are. Don't listen, son. So, we have that wheel of emotion and men over here. I believe social. Hey, you have got to put around you people that will encourage you in the right direction. I'm not talking about somebody going to dare you to do something stupid. I'm talking about a good Christian friend who's going to help you to grow in the Lord. Somebody who will be there when you step out of bounds and you go somewhere and they say, I don't think that's right. Tyler's not guilty of anything that I'm aware of. He's just the closest one to you. And so we have to make sure that socially we're okay. Relational help. What kind of people are you around? Oh, me. Spiritual help. I have to be in the house of God. Amen? Why? You get your spiritual food by the Word of God. The bread of life comes to you. Through the Word of God, it's fed to you. God has prepared a table before us this morning, and you are able to partake of it. Now, sometimes we're like a stubborn child, aren't we? Don't like that. Well, I'll be honest with you. I've never preached on love this morning. Amen? You say amen, you've never heard about love, right? I've never heard about Calvary. It is finished. Amen? It's all right. I know. Hey, listen. I'm a preacher. I'm a man of God, but I'm a human being too. Amen? If you cut me, I will believe. Ain't that some famous saying or whatever? Listen, I promise you. Sometimes the spiritual food God gives to us to eat, thank God a spoonful of sugar will help the medicine go down. Amen? I believe I've quoted a little bit of anybody. He has to be first place in the heart of the Christian. He has to be first place as the head of the church. Christian, let me tell you something. If we follow God, the gates of hell cannot, will not prevail against us. I know we need to not be flippant with the things of God, but we do need to use them for the glory of God. I believe this meeting house ought to be taken care of. I believe it ought to be immaculate. I believe it ought to be beautiful. Why? Because I'm not coming in here to sing there's a tear in my ear. I'm coming in here to sing glory to God in the highest. Amen. I'm coming in here not to talk about politics, but I'm talking about the King of Kings. I'm not coming in here for a social club, but I'm coming in here as the part of the body of Christ. And this is where God has chosen to meet with them. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He has set the members of the body according to His will. You are here this morning because God put you in this place. And so we need to take care of this place. It needs to be the head of the church. Before a decision is made, let's pray about it. Before I talk with anybody, I prayed over it diligently. Some things that I have said, some things that I have done. And let me tell you something. With the generosity of God's people, I'm convinced that I was right this morning. Not a lot of times I feel like I hit the nail on the head. No pun intended, Rob. But I feel like this morning that I got some things right. I feel like I'm right in what I'm preaching. Christian, he's got to be first. Let me tell you something. If he's the head in the heart of the Christian in first place, if he's first place at the head of the church, there will be a help in the community like no other. The world is dying dropping off into heat. I heard a message this morning. Some of you probably watched it on Brother Ralph Sexton's show, but evangelist was preaching. 7 something million people in America, in the world, sorry. Billion, I think is what he said, sorry. But of those people, only 20% is believed to be Christian. 80% are dropping off and going to hell. That's a rampant disease, isn't it? That's a disease that's spread like wildfire. And we got the cure. I believe this little diva asked in the back. She seen the cross and she said, it's Jesus. Somebody can open up your heart. I'm talking about the soul of your life. Would they have to say, is Jesus here? Or could they find him? Miss Nikki, as you come play, I'm done. Christ must reign supreme. And I ask you this morning, is he reigning supreme in your heart?